Please stand in body or in spirit. The cross of Christ crucifies the world to us and us to the world.
May we never boast of anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ.
We begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now I ask that you, I'll just start that over. Let us confess our sins in the presence of God and one another, keeping time for silence and self-reflection and examination. Most merciful God, we ask that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our hearts. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of God, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
the Father of our Lord Jesus, you are the city that shelters us, the mother who comforts us. With your Spirit, accompany us on our life's journey, that may we spread your peace to all the world. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated for the readings.
Good morning. The first reading is from Isaiah, the 66th chapter. Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad for her, all you who love her. Rejoice with her in joy, all you who mourn over her, that you may nurse and be satisfied from her consoling breast, that you may drink deeply with delight from her glorious bosom. For thus says the Lord, I will extend prosperity to her like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. And you shall nurse and be carried on her arm and dandled on her knees. As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem. You shall see, and your heart shall rejoice. Your bodies shall flourish like the grass. And it shall be known that the hand of the Lord is with his servants, and his indignation is against his enemies. The word of the Lord. Please read Psalm 66 responsively with me. Make a joyful noise to God, all the earth.
Sing the glory of his name. Give to him glorious praise.
Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. Because of your great power, your enemies cringe before you.
All the earth worships you. They sing praises to you. Sing praises to your name.
Come and see what God has done. He is awesome in his deeds among mortals.
He turns the sea into dry land. It passes the river on foot. There we rejoice in him.
Who rules by his might forever, whose eyes keep watch on the nations? Let the rebellious not exalt themselves.
Bless our God, O peoples. Let the sound of his great praise be heard.
Who has kept us among the living, and has not let our feet slip. The second reading is from Galatians, the 6th chapter. My friends, if anyone is detected in a transgression, you have received the Spirit, should restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Take care that you yourselves are not tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. For if those who are nothing think they are something, they deceive themselves. All must test their own work. Then that work, rather than their neighbor's work, will become a cause for pride. For all who must carry their own loads, those who are taught the word must share in all good things with their teacher. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for you reap whatever you sow. If you sow to your own flesh, you will reap corruption from the flesh. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life from the Spirit. So let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. So then, whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all, and especially for those of the family of faith. See what large letters I make when I am writing in my own hand. It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh that try to compel you to be circumcised, only that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. Even the circumcised do not themselves obey the law, but they want you to be circumcised so that they may boast about your flesh. May I never boast of anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. For neither circumcision nor uncircumcision is anything, but a new creation is everything. As for those who will follow this rule, peace be among them and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, O Christ.
After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you." Oh, hold on. How do I not know this one? "See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into the streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you. You know this, the kingdom of God has come near. Listen, whoever listens to you listens to me, and whoever rejects you rejects me, and whoever rejects me rejects the one who sent me." The 70 returned with joy, saying, "The Lord, in your name, even the demons submit to us." He said to them, "I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise to you, Christ.
You may be seated. I'm not quite sure how I lost my place at the best line in the entire reading, which is also a big part of my sermon. Give me a moment. "See, I am sending you out like lambs in the midst of wolves." Not just any wolves, ravenous wolves. Ravenous teenage and tweenage wolves. First was the week at scout camp. I talked about that in my sermon last week. And then there was 3 days at church camp at Hopewood Outdoors. I know, you feel so bad for me. This poor, poor pastor. He was sent out like a lamb in the midst of some very hormonal, emotionally confused, occasionally obnoxious, always far too energetic for me, and always, seriously, smelly wolves. A lamb who wanted nothing more than to go home and sleep in his own bed, in his own room that I can assure you does not smell like a mixture of wet socks and teenage boy farts, okay? It did not smell like that. And yet, Jesus makes it very clear to us. This is not going to be a glamping trip, okay? Who here knows what glamping is? It is glamorous camping, right? You get that $500,000, you know, giant motorhome. That is glamping. This is not a glamping trip. There is no glamping when it comes to laboring for the Lord of the harvest. You are to carry no purse, no bag, no sandals. In fact, as soon as you find a house, introduce yourself, say, "Peace to this house." And if they share in the peace, you will know it because it will rest on them. Remain there in this house, eat with them and drink with them. Whatever it is that they provide, remain there. Accept their hospitality. Don't go searching about town for the guy who's grilling steaks on his back patio. No, the ham butts that they serve you in the dining hall will sustain you, I can assure you. They just don't taste good. Don't go searching for the more spacious accommodations either, with the private living quarters, the king-size bed, and that central AC unit. No, that one-room cabin that's probably like 50 years old, with its window AC unit, at least I had that, that you share with another adult and seven teenage boys, and almost teenage boys, it will do just fine. Stay there. And certainly, and this is most important, don't go in search of anyone who is more important in the community. Because I can assure you that the hormonal, emotionally confused, occasionally obnoxious, always far too energetic, and seriously smelly teens need to feel and know and experience the peace and love of God too. Maybe they especially need to know and feel and experience that love and connection and the peace that only God can give. They too need to know that the kingdom of God has come near. These 3 days at Hopewood, they have me thinking just a little bit differently, and that's kind of the point of camp. Camp is intended to make us think a little bit differently, but the point is usually for the kids. It's supposed to make the kids think differently, but sometimes the adults think a little bit differently too, and maybe that's the point. I wonder, is it just us helping youth when we go to places like this? I mean, it's just our job to make them feel loved, right? It's the adult's job. I wonder, though, maybe these young men and women, maybe they have a need to make us feel that same love and connection and perhaps that same peace. But that can't be, because us adults, we're the teachers, the disciples, we're the givers. I will tell you, I know this from years of experience of being around Christians. We aren't good at accepting hospitality, are we? We love giving hospitality. It is really hard to receive it. We are not good at accepting help from another. But here Jesus flips good old Christian hospitality on its head by instructing the disciples to accept the lodging, the food, the drink, whatever it is that is offered, you are to accept it. And it makes me wonder, what could these teenagers, these ravenous wolves, what could they possibly have to offer me? I mean, I'm the pastor, not these kids. Aren't these kids supposed to just sit and listen and learn from me as I preach from, wait a minute, as I preach from on high and down at them? Isn't it them that are to learn from me and from the other adults? And oh, by the way, they should be thankful for it. Where's my thank you note? No? Okay. Still waiting for the thank you note. And yet, in one short and very surprising conversation this past week, my eyes were opened by a young man who spent most of his week being, shall I say, difficult. Right? We will call this young man Dylan. Why are we going to call him Dylan? It's not his name. We're going to call him Dylan because that is the name that he wrote on his name tag. Like I said, Dylan, was a bit difficult. He was good at feigning disinterest. He had disinterest written all over his face. He had this rebel facade. But behind all of that, Dylan has some thoughts. He has some real, actual thoughts about some real, actual issues that matter for each and every one of us. And I wonder, what might we learn from Dylan? Dylan made in just this 1 minute, he let the facade down. And in this 1 minute conversation, he made a very well-reasoned argument on a highly debated, highly polarized, highly politicized issue that we love to talk about in this country. So it could be pretty much anything, right? But here was this 13-year-old. He was injecting nuance into a debate that I have seen over and over and over again adults and political leaders just yell at each other about. But he wasn't yelling. He was being thoughtful. I sent a group text to my seminary friends and told them what Dylan said, and one responded, "I didn't even know that that was a thing I was supposed to think about when I was 13. And I think that's right. When I reflected, I was like, I didn't either. And I'll bet none of you did either. I will tell you that this generation of kids, they are listening. They have access to more information. They are more aware. They see us and they hear us perhaps now more than ever before. And despite us thinking, their brains have been made rotten by screens and video games. I can assure you that these youth are not stupid. So I again wonder, when we show up in their midst and we play the part of ravenous wolf, tearing one another apart, because that's what society tells us to do, that's what society says we are supposed to do to win an argument, to put our policy in place, because policy is, in fact, how we bring about the kingdom of God, right? Maybe not. How can they possibly believe us when we say that the kingdom of God has come near? And how can they possibly hear us when we say, peace to you and this house as we tear one another apart? I wouldn't believe us. But there is a way forward, I think. But I assure you, it is not the way of the ravenous wolf. We are the lambs, and that is a very good thing, being a lamb, because Christ doesn't shepherd wolves the last time I checked. The good shepherd cares for his lambs. He protects and guards his lambs. He shelters them. He shelters us. As we go to the oh so very uncomfortable places of our communities with the countercultural word of peace on our lips, prepared to receive whatever hospitality is given, with our open hearts and our open minds, with a curiosity, asking ourselves, what is it that we might have to learn from Dylan? But we have to be careful. We cannot do this from a posture or with a posture of relativism. We cannot bend the whims of our hosts or those that we encounter. It's just the opposite. We must stay firm in our faith. But we do it with curiosity, don't we? What might we, as we go out, what might we learn from Dylan? And this is probably most important. We do so with peace. We go out in peace, not as ravenous wolves. We proclaim the good news that the kingdom of God has come near, and when we are rejected, and when we are rejected, I say again, and when we are rejected, we have all been experienced rejection as those who go out and proclaim this, because there are many who don't want to hear it. When we are rejected, it is okay. That's the part we struggle with. It is okay when we are rejected. Jesus tells us what to do. He says, move on. He tells us to move on, knowing that there are not enough laborers. There are not enough laborers for a mission field out there that is ripe for harvest. So when you are rejected, continue on. Don't lose faith. The Lord of the harvest, though, is not sending us on a glamping trip. This is not easy. We will be mocked and ridiculed. Perhaps we will be chased by the ravenous wolves of the world. We will enter rooms that I can assure you I experienced. They smell like wet socks. Ben, it smelled so bad in that cabin. It smelled like wet socks and boy farts. That's what it smelled like. But sometimes, every once in a while, we will be surprised by the ones who welcome us in. And if we allow these people to receive us, if we accept their hospitality, if we find that we are curious, if we allow ourselves to wonder about them, sometimes they will surprise us. And it is in these moments that I can assure you we will know that we have just caught a glimpse, just a glimpse. But it's enough that we have just caught a glimpse of the kingdom of God. And it is because of Dylan. And this is the hope that sustains us as we labor on. Amen.
Professing what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe
in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit.
Kerr County, Texas, which is where the flooding, the heart of the flooding in Texas has taken place. I believe to this point, over 50 folks have died, many children, especially and unaccounted for still, especially from Camp Mystic. So we will be praying for the rescue efforts, for the rescuers, for the family and friends of everyone involved there, that they may be reunited with their loved ones. And for those who will not be, for comfort in their grief. What other prayers do we have this morning to add? Mace. Let us pray. Drawn into the embrace of the Holy Trinity, we lift our prayers for the wholeness of the church, for the world, and for all of creation.
May your harvest be plentiful, O God. Make us laborers and companions with one another in this assembly and those who call for others, community of the faith, especially St. Paul's and North Robinson, Galleon and Crawford County area churches, churches across Northwest Ohio Synod, and from here to the ends of the earth. Send your peace to rest upon us. Heal divisions among us. Open our hearts to receive one another as gifts from you. God of grace,
hear our prayer. As a mother comforts her child, so you comfort us. Bring this comfort to those in pain, especially the family and friends of Jesse, the family and friends of Bob, Teresa, Tammy, Joyce, Chuck, Fred, Judy, Jean, Krista, Dave, AJ, Caden and his family, Linda, Haley, Sandy, Scott, Ed, Tina, Bobby, Jim. We lift to you those in Kerr County, Texas, and those at Camp Mystic who are suffering from devastating flooding, loss of life, and missing loved ones. We pray for safe recoveries and for the comfort of those who have lost loved ones and friends. We lift to you Mace and those that we name either aloud or in the silence of our hearts. Carry your people when grief is heavy and lift burdens of shame and self-doubt. God of grace,
hear our prayer. You have written our names in heaven, O God, and we rejoice. We thank you for those who have lived and died in your love, especially Bob and Jesse, and those with whom we now either aloud or in the silence of our hearts. Accompany us on our life's journey and draw us to the last of our lives forever in you. God of grace,
hear our prayer. Gather all our prayers in your mercy, O God, through Jesus Christ, who is our Savior and Lord. Amen. And now may the peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Please share a sign of God's peace with one another. At this time, we continue worship with our gifts and our offerings.
Thank you.
Creator God, in your wisdom, you brought forth all that is good, and harvest is plentiful. Strengthen us at your table with these gifts of the earth and our labor, that we be work for the good of all, through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God. Through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection, who opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. The night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks. He broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again, after supper, he took the cup. He gave thanks, and he gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant of my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The kingdom of God is set before us. So come, eat, drink, and rejoice.
Thank you.
now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Sustaining God, you have gathered us to your table, and we drank deeply of your grace. Send us out by your Spirit to love our neighbors as ourselves and proclaim your love in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. A few quick announcements. Is it council meeting week again? It is. Committee fellowship at 5:30, and then we will meet as committees at 6, and council will be at 7 o'clock. So please, if you are on council or on a committee, please come to that. And then a big thank you to everyone who helped with the ice cream social last week. Even if you just helped eat it, it was a very nice time fellowship and food. The ice cream was very good. And so thank you all for the ice cream and for the food and the fellowship. Are there any other announcements this morning? Seeing and hearing none, please stand for a blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you now and forever. Amen.
To the harvest.
And you have been called. Rejoice, therefore, and go forth.
We will. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. I was afraid to look.
The good news is, I don't think it's...
take some of this stuff home and clean it?
If you want to, I'm not going to say no.
Good Lord.
The good thing is, I don't think it got any of the other stuff, you know what I mean? So
I couldn't make eye contact with him.
I gotta do it next week.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Because it doesn't matter. I can take him if you want me to.
Yeah, I gotta do it next week, so I'm good.
I think he was afraid to look at us.
I seriously
do. We do.
Yeah, that one was okay then?
Yeah.
Okay. And I was just like, okay, it's close enough not to be on the field.
Yeah.
Please.
Well, and sometimes there's
cracks.
Oh,
no, that one did.
Did it? Yeah. Oh, I guess it did. He just covered it up nicely.
And I thought, wow, that was really bad. I mean, he's like protecting my sleeve and everything.
I think these are all good.
I'm going.